Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this late on a Thursday night. The Kings start a tough four-game road trip with a game against a Knicks team that really played physical in Sacramento, held them under 100 points. Tonight, the Kings come out swinging. De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell, and Keon Ellis were red hot in the first quarter. The Kings lead by 15 after one. The lead expands to 21 in the second quarter, but the Knicks just were relentless. The Knicks played physical. They made life hard for Sacramento, and the Kings made some mistakes defensively. They lose a tough one in a game you feel like they should have had against the Knicks, 120-109, to start this road trip 0-1. And with the loss, they are in the eighth spot in the NBA's Western Conference. This podcast is always presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. I'm Deuce. That's Mo. How you doing?
I'm good. I feel like no matter what, a win or loss, that's always my answer. I'm good. Sometimes I'm telling the truth. Other times I'm just trying to keep it positive, keep the peace. I feel good right now, not from the Sacramento Kings game. But it is what it is. It's a tough team. It just sucks how everything broke down.
It was a fantastic start. You want to start with the good? Because I feel like there's a lot of bad.
Yeah.
And then what happens is we usually start with the bad and then it bleeds into, and the good happens. So the good tonight was that first quarter. Mm-hmm. I loved everything about it. You thought, wow, the Kings came prepared. They look like they're really finding a rhythm with this group, even without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter here. The ball was moving defensively. Oh, the rotations were great. They were throwing different looks. You know, it would be guarding Brunson one-on-one, who's just a great player. The guy's a stud. And then it was maybe throwing some blitzes and recovering. They were playing physical. They were forcing mistakes and turnovers. And the other end, the ball was moving.
They were playing fast. Yes, that was it. They were playing so fast and with pace. And that pace felt like it was leading to made buckets, though, right? Like, they felt like they were in rhythm. It was a nice flow. I know it's hard to keep up with that pace an entire game, but to completely go away from it is beyond me, especially when it's the first night of a back-to-back. It's the first game of a long road trip. And you really had a nice little lead there. I didn't think that they were going to keep that. It's this day and age in the NBA, that just doesn't happen anymore. But it felt like they could have kept some padding there because of the style of their play. But it went away. But let's talk about what went so good with some of the things that were happening. Dude, De'Aaron attacking?
Yeah, but the shooting too, right? Yeah. I mean, you shoot 66% in the first quarter. Sacramento outscored the Knicks 35-20 in the first. Fox had 11. He knocked down 3 of 4 from downtown. He had 2 rebounds, assists, and a steal as well. Then Keon comes in. Look, if you're going to go under on screens, you're going to choose not to defend him. He's not going to hesitate, and he's going to launch. He was 3 of 3 in the first quarter. Then Davion just comes out aggressive again, attacking, hitting a 3. He had 7 points in the first quarter. So when you add that up, those guys combined for, 27 points on 7 of 8 from 3 in the first, you feel amazing. And it's one thing to be making shots. You know, like, are you going to shoot 66% the rest of the game? No. But I felt like they were doing good things defensively. Even the help on Jalen Brunson was nice.
Yeah.
There was a couple of times where it was just great help defense. Like, Ellis was defending Brunson one-on-one, and Fox with an aggressive help last second on a drive, poke away steal. Ellis got him on a pokeaway steal as well. And you like the activity. It felt like, okay, they're engaged. They understand the mission. And then this game slowly fell apart. The Kings did go into the second quarter and expand the lead too. And it kind of carried over.
It did. It was nice. That's what you and I were talking on the way back from the Stockton Kings game. We were talking about how, man, it was a quarter and a half. It felt like the Kings had some really good basketball. And we've seen that before from this team. But I feel like as this season has continued, that they have done a much better job of finding a way to still continue that identity throughout a game. And it felt like that was one half of the story, and then the next half came. But going into that second, you're exactly right, when they extended the lead and things were looking good, finally when the Knicks started to punch back is when things started to slow down. Guys started looking deflated. And I didn't understand that because I was like, wait, control what you can control. You can still push the shit out of the basketball. Take it out quick under the basket. Trey Lyles adding that toughness in right away. You and I talking about it, watching the game going, this is why he was missed. This is why, especially now also without Malik Monk in there, this is another reason why he was missed. Just the toughness, the energy that he added. And then you'd see the way that he would be able to recover on the defensive end and come over and be that length that they would need down low. And that recovery time was good. I know Jalen Brunson is going to get his and get to different places on the floor, but when things really started to unravel, I felt like Dante DiVincenzo was hitting big shots. I felt like Josh Hart was just getting wherever he wanted on the floor. And this is even before we're going to talk about what really, really went wrong in that second half.
So the Kings end up getting a 21-point lead after a De'Aaron Fox three. It was 46-25 at the 8:42 mark of the second quarter. Still a lot of time left. But the Knicks closed after that on a 27-14 push. And then all of a sudden, a 21-point lead is down to 8 at the half. And then you're going, well, it's a game again.
Yeah. I mean,
they've got the momentum. The Knicks were playing beyond fired up tonight, too. Like, dude, this Knicks team may be shorthanded without OG. Who the hell knows when he's coming back? You find out Randall's going to be done for the season, needs surgery. God. They don't give a shit. They play hard all the time. And I think one of the most impressive things about tonight, before we dive into like what really went down, Hartenstein, Brunson, and Hart.
Oh, my God.
Those three combined for 28 assists tonight.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
28 assists.
I mean, just Hartenstein and the way that his ability to pass the basketball is so smooth.
He's one of the best passing bigs in the league.
I agree.
And it wasn't, I went back and was watching some of the assists when I got back here from Stockton, and I'm just like, the guy he's great at leading guys.
Yes.
They're good with moving without the ball.
They're crisp.
He has great vision. And what a steal that guy is. I mean, the fact that Mitchell Robinson is back now coming off the injury, you know, he only plays 15 minutes in this one. Hartenstein's like running away with this because he's got good size, he can rebound, and he can pass. So you also have a guy, what do you do tonight? He had 2 steals, 7 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds.
Dude,
that's fantastic in 29 minutes.
You know, one of the other interesting things, too, that we were watching with this game, we weren't listening to the call. So we're also not hearing if there's a whistle or, you know, that's a foul or whatever. There's so many times that you and I would be like, oh, they're going to call that. They're going to call that. I thought the refs were allowing things to just be physical. There were so many plays where we're like, oh, is that going to be something? No, the ball's going the other way. Let's go. And so both teams were being physical in the beginning, and it felt like the tone with both of them was very equal. But then once the Knicks really started to uppercut and punch and punch and punch, the Kings never wanted to punch back.
No, and then turnovers became a big issue. I thought the Kings had soft passes. They were indecisive offensively. They were taking bad shots or passing up good shots. In the second half of this game, I just want to double check this. Second half of this game, Sacramento had 9 turnovers that turned into 14 points. 9 turnovers in the second half of this game. And Barnes had a couple of them. Barnes was not good at all tonight. Mm-mm. And they didn't play him a lot. I was shocked when Brown brought him back in with 3 minutes
to go. Oh, I didn't get that.
When he didn't play at all. I'm like, what's the point in this? So turnovers were just a major issue. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it was the Knicks' physicality, the way they were playing with confidence, because once they got back in the game, it felt like, oh, they're not losing this game. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, right? When the Knicks take the lead, you go, the Knicks got this. Yep. And that's what's disappointing, too. Where this game turned to me was the Kings' decision to constantly blitz Jalen Brunson. I could not believe it kept happening over and over and over and over again. I understand. Hey, you want to get the ball out of his hands. Okay, you blitzed Jalen Brunson all night, a lot in the second half, and it stopped working. It stopped working because the blitzes were soft. Brunson, I know, shockingly, knew it was coming, and he still dropped 35 points on you. He still dropped 35 points. So why'd you do it?
Break it on down. Break it on down. Because watching this game, this was the story of the game, was the unsuccessful blitzing by the Sacramento Kings, especially in that second half. If it's broke, fix it. Fix it.
You have Ellis. You've got Mitchell. And I don't think Ellis did a good job defending him. He struggles with Brunson.
Sure.
I feel like he doesn't move well enough with Brunson. Then guess what? De'Aaron Fox, it's your turn, man.
Yeah.
You can play defense. You're near the top in deflections. You play physical. Put them on him.
So the mechanics now of the breakdown of the blitzes, things that Deuce and I, we were seeing happen far too often. Lazy ass commitments to these blitzes. You would see Keegan just slowly jogging over and going, oh shit, got a blitz. Barnes trying to come over, got a blitz. For some reason, it felt like everyone was going through the motions of a blitz, of a double, right? And just throwing this double at Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson was like, is this a joke? Like, do you want to try and take away my vision? Do you want to try and do something else? Like, not only am I going to make a quick decision before you're even over here, which is going to allow one extra second for everyone else to be open, but like, I don't even need to try. Like, there was no disruption in these blitzes. There was no intensity in these blitzes.
Yes, but also, at some point, when it happens to you every time and you are an all-star, all-NBA player like Jalen Brunson, you're going to be able to read those blitzes coming and you're going to time out your passes accordingly. And you're going to know, hey, I got Hartenstein on the roll here and he can make a good decision.
Yes.
I mean, there's a couple times Hartenstein on the roll, if the help was there, he didn't force it. He could have forced it. There was one time he had Ellis come over on help, and he could have tried to power through him. Maybe Ellis flops. No, he was patient, made his move. He sprayed out.
Yeah.
Three ball, bang.
It was beautiful.
Another time, Josh Hart is butt naked in the corner and just cuts to the basket, and what does Hartenstein do? Dish it to him. And if Josh Hart's a great finisher at the rim, boom, done.
They were just, they were simplifying everything.
It was so easy.
It was like going through a practice squad. Like you were playing against a practice squad that was like, okay, what do you do when a double's thrown at you? This guy goes here and this guy runs here. It was just so fundamental. And it felt like the Kings could never recover. And then on top of that, Deuce, I mean, we talk about it becoming one, two, three passes. There was times when it would just be Josh Hart on that short roll and slip or whatever.
Josh Hart in the mid-range. Murdered the Kings tonight. Yep. It was, I listened to some of Mike Brown's post-game. I tried to find the full thing. I only heard a clip. But one of the things he was talking about was the Kings' offense. And I agree, there were some issues offensively. He was comparing it to the last Knicks game. But I think the defensive game plan was what was wrong tonight. And you could talk about how it was executed, Morgan, but at some point, you got to change it up if you're on the coaching staff. Or if I'm a player, I'm going, this is not working.
Yep.
The Kings don't have the appropriate size all the time out there. You don't have like a shot-blocking presence that's going to be able to be in the situation where if you're bringing Sabonis and a guard up, who is the big helping weak side? What if Trey Lyles has to go to the corner to cover someone? And then you're leaving a Davion Mitchell, a Keon Ellis to be the weak side protection with someone like Josh Hart coming downhill or Hartenstein, who's a huge body. The results aren't good. It's either going to be a bucket. It's either going to be a spray three. Someone is open. When you commit two to the ball, someone is open. I think that's the other thing, Morgan. Mike Brown last year talked about, I don't like doing those because you put your defense in a vulnerable spot. Uh-huh. Well, that's what happened. And we saw it repeatedly so much that the Knicks were like, we'll just keep doing it. Yeah. I mean, they're going to keep doing this. And Brunson made the right decision almost every time.
That's what was so confusing about it. It was just like, why aren't we making this adjustment by this point? Because we did see a few times in the beginning of this game when everything was flowing, how the Kings were recovering, whether it was Keegan doing a good job of putting his body there or Trey Lyles coming over and contesting a shot. Like, the recovery was there. Soon as it was broken and it wasn't there anymore, like, I'm not one to be like, oh, you run away with it, you're scared. It's like, no, this was so obvious that, like, you had no control over it anymore, and you don't have the right personnel to continue these blitzes in this game, that you have to change it. And the fact that it didn't get changed, and like you said, even if you felt like Keon Ellis was going to get blown by Jalen Brunson, just because for some reason he has his number, I don't get it. But then you shove De'Aaron. You have guys that can play really good one-on-one defense. Davion Mitchell even being another one, even as an undersized guard.
I think we've all watched enough basketball and to know that if you throw the same look at a player who's a really good player. If you don't, Jalen Brunson's probably close to an all NBA guy this year, I'm guessing, right? But he's an all-star. These guys are smart. Like, they know what's coming. And that's why it's so important to throw different looks. That's why I loved in the first quarter. They were not going to shut down Brunson tonight. I'm not even saying it should. You got to shut down Brunson. Like, good luck. The guy's a stud. He gets to his spots. How many times he's able to, like, weave through guys.
Oh, my God.
He's strong, too. He's slithery. Getting around Keon Ellis. Just stop popping, fading away, hitting mid-range jumpers, getting to his spots. But in the first quarter, I felt like it was nice because sometimes if Brunson was trying to make a move, De'Aaron would just pop over real fast and just dig. Mm-hmm. And then recover. I just thought the coming up high with those blitzes, even the hard head sometimes is tough to recover from, you know? Like, you can, but I think as it continued to break down, you just can't keep doing it. And they kept doing it. I felt like they just committed to doing it. And then I thought the other thing, too, is in transition. Like, we talk about what Josh Hart was able to do sometimes on that short roll, which is a problem. We'll talk more about that. Dude, they couldn't stop him in transition. How many times I saw Josh Hart get the ball on the break and the Kings couldn't stop ball?
And just went downhill. And that was so surprising, is like no one was putting any force or pressure on ball on him when he was going downhill, like even by the half court line. Even when there was help still behind, where it's like, hey, I'm going to commit. So I'm going to trust that my help is there behind me to finish up the job and or protect the rim. And that just wasn't there. It was like they just kept backpedaling with him. And it was, where is the pressure? I mean, even if you got to get a little handsy and maybe even foul him in that situation and try and see if you can just get away with it, and the refs are going to call it just a physical play. I don't know. The fact that they just didn't make any of these adjustments is what was the most frustrating part.
Yeah, and seeing Josh Hart, I mean, this guy was a monster tonight.
Good for him.
And it was in transition. He's a great finisher around the basket. He could finish with contact. He could finish around the defender. It's pretty impressive. But, you know, when Brunson's getting blitzed, Hart's getting the rock, look at Josh Hart's shot chart tonight. The guy had 26 points in the paint.
In the paint.
The Kings as a team had 40 points in the paint. Josh Hart had 26 himself. Why? Well, because there's help coming, and Josh Hart's like, well, you're giving me a lane to the basket. Someone's going to come over and help. I'm just going to go through them.
Something Mike Brown said, and I don't agree with, he said, you know, Josh Hart was making some tough shots in the paint on us. And
he's a tough shot maker, though. That's what he does. No.
He is. But I didn't feel like there was enough resistance. I didn't feel like they were tough enough shots for Josh Hart. Again, these are NBA guys. Of course, like if you're out there, like I could never make even one of those shots in the paint. I get it. It's still going to be, if you want to define it as a tougher shot, but it still didn't feel like it was tough enough with the way that the Kings were playing defense. Maybe I just wanted to see more physicality. Once he was getting in there, you got to bump a guy before he's smart and he gets a shot off. Just don't even allow him to get that deep in the paint every single time.
I think the other thing too, Brunson smoked you last game, right? In Sacramento.
Smoked.
Well, he didn't score as many points tonight. He still scored 35.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he still got fouled, got to the line. He was 9 of 10 at the free throw line, 12 of 20 shooting. He had 35 points. He had 11 assists. That's a major impact. And then on top of that, Josh Hart has 31 points, a season high, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Then DiVincenzo, who's just like hitting big threes because that's what he does, 5 of 9 from three, has 21 points. God, my point is like, if you're so solely focused on blitzing, getting the ball out of Josh Hart's hands, like I just don't like that philosophy when Brunson's hands, when you have other players around him that can hurt you. Like DiVincenzo has been a great 3-point shooter this year. Yeah. If he's open and he gets good looks because they're getting paint touches and sprays, he's going to knock him down. Hart doing what he did tonight? That's absurd. So I'd rather Brunson play Brunson one-on-one, mm-hmm. throw some different looks at him, put help on him, let Brunson score 50. I just don't need 31 from Hart on easy shots in the paint.
And here's the difference too, because when he was close to scoring 50 in that first matchup, we were talking about that game still impressed with the competitive nature throughout, right? It felt like the game plan that the Kings, the position that they were put in tonight, did not allow them to, flourish or find positive energy from. You know, it felt like it deflated them, if anything, and that they couldn't ever find. And again, that's sometimes just a mentality thing too. You got to find a way to fight out of it and start clicking and be engaged. But at the same time, like when your game plan is like, look, you're going to blitz this guy and you're doing what your coaches are saying, it's going to be tough. Even though what I will say too, like your coach's game plan, they're telling you to do this. One, you're not executing it. Two, some of your doubles and some of your blitzing is lazier than shit. Like it just wasn't like they were fully committed to it. And at times I could understand it too, because you're like, well, I'm going to run over here and Brunson, I'm going to have to sprint my ass back over here and recover. You know, really quick too, LeBron and JJ on their podcast, they were talking about these are the certain guys you just do not blitz in this league. And, you know, it was Luka, LeBron, Kyrie. I forget if Jalen Brunson even made that list, but like there's other guys that should be on this list, Steph, whoever. You don't do that because they will tear it apart, and it just makes it that much more difficult on you and deflating as a team.
This is tough, man. Really disappointing night for the Sacramento Kings. And I was looking at a couple of things because New York had 19 fast break points tonight. More than the Kings did in the game, right? In part, you know, you turn the ball over, that's going to happen. And I just want to see, the Knicks are 13th in the league points off turnovers. Okay, 17 a game. But they're last in pace, too. You know, like that's they're dead. The Knicks are dead last in pace. You know, the Kings are like top five in pace since the break. And so
they're doing their game in the beginning.
But it's when you can't get stops, it's deflating, and you're throwing all these, when you're throwing those doubles, you're throwing those blitzes, all these guys are scrambling, recovering, you're exhausted. Yeah. And then, so I know like the offense wasn't good either. But here's the reality. The Kings outscored the Knicks 35-20 in the first quarter. The rest of the game, the Knicks outscored Sacramento 100-74.
Jeez. Nice math. Someone in the chat says that 4-on-3 downhill really does crush your spirit sometimes. And it's like, if it's crushing your spirit at home, you can only imagine what it's doing to a team at times. And I get that. It's going to happen. But how can you fight back and find a way to fight through it crushing your spirit? And it just felt like that wasn't happening. The adjustments of the mechanics weren't even happening out there.
Yeah. Some sloppy turnovers too. So Bonus had 4 turnovers. Fox had 4. Fox, after a hot start, finishes 11 of 26 in the game. He was 6 of 13 from 3, but he was hot. 5 of 17 shooting in the second half of this game. Stuff was short. At the end, it just seemed like the Kings weren't getting good shots. They were passing up some decent looks. They were throwing tough passes, and the Knicks are like, oh, we get deflections too. It's just, this is a game where you go, you know, you can't let it fall apart like this.
That's
and,
it.
And I know the headline I saw on NBA.com, and I see people on Twitter, how do you choke a 21-point lead? I'm like, well, guys, it's 2024.
Thank you.
21-point lead with 8-something to go, with 8:42 in the second quarter is like, what is that anymore?
For any team.
But it's when the game flipped, it flipped fast, and the failure to adjust with the defensive game plan,
that
to me is what cost them. You could talked about the offense, oh, this miscues, but you know what? You got to get stops, and you allowed a buck 20 to this Knicks team.
If this game had a title, it would be the failure to adjust.
Mm.
Tough. Yeah, tough. And guess what? It's not going to get any easier tomorrow. But.
Oh, no. You got the Celtics coming up tomorrow. So that's it. Just the Boston Celtics. They could be missing a couple of guys because they've clinched, so they have nothing to really trip about at this point. So they've been getting rest for some of their guys. We appreciate everyone hanging out with us, by the way. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. A good crowd for a late night chat.
Thank
hours
you,
after
guys.
A ugly, ugly game. Andrew says Keegan racked up some fouls pretty fast. That was rough. Yeah, and that hurt them too. You know, when he's picking up his fourth pretty fast, he's in foul trouble. I mean, he's playing with 5, and you're like, okay, well, this is one of your better defenders. Are you surprised that Ellis struggles so much defending Brunson on ball?
No, because Jalen Brunson's really good.
Yeah.
And Keon Ellis has how many years experience in this league? He's got to experience this, and he's got to understand what he never wants to feel again, not only mentally, but then physically. It's, how do I even take my game defensively on ball to another level? You know, I know this sounds funny, but it's like, maybe you play a lot of one-on-one with De'Aaron Fox over the summer.
He also was in foul trouble tonight too. So yes, he was trying to defend a lot with his chest and bump him. But Brunson's ability to like take a little contact, I feel like the contact, like somehow makes him stronger.
Yeah,
like,
no, he
there's
has,
like some video game where yes, he gets hit and like he goes into turbo mode, which, and he grows, and then he is able to get to a spot.
Correct.
So how does he do it?
It's fascinating to watch. It's fun to watch when it's not against the team that you're rooting for.
I know he's not going to win the MVP, but I was on a Knicks podcast yesterday previewing this game, and they're kind of, you know, talking about Brunson, trying to give him some love. Like, it's so true. You know, it's like anytime we have these conversations about players, you know, on ESPN, they're talking about tiers, like, oh, he can't be a one. I'm like, okay, here's what I know. If you looked at this roster just on paper,
mm-hmm,
with what's missing, OG, Randall,
yeah,
Mitchell Robinson's missed time this year. They made some trade, you know, like even the guys they traded for. Remember, we were going, hey, man, get Boyan and Burks. That's huge. Those guys really don't play. Boyan was good tonight, of course, because yeah, he, you know, 12 points in 12 minutes, he's playing the Kings,
yeah,
of course. But, like, those guys aren't really playing much. Dude, Brunson is just a beast. Like, he's tough to guard. He's not, like, super fast,
uh-huh,
but you're like, his speed is, like, deceptive, too.
Oh, yes.
His strength, his touch around the basket.
Ding, ding,
fearless,
ding.
Plays hard. This Knicks team is doing this with all this stuff that's around. And you
correct,
look and you're like, they're playing all these guards. Like,
you know what I will say? I think
playing 4 guards.
Tibbs does a fantastic job of bringing the most out of this roster. And when I say out of the most, I'm talking about what they can control.
Yeah.
What they lack in maybe their skill set, he brings out in, hey, if you don't do this, if you don't have this type of mentality, you're not going to play. And when everyone buys into that certain type of fight and mentality, it can do wonders. But then when that happens, plus having a star player like Jalen effing Brunson, yeah, it could bring you, it can elevate you to an even another level. And I just love what he's been able to do for this team. I don't think he gets enough credit. If anything, the only times he gets like the most credit is, oh, Dallas, you're so dumb for just letting him go.
Yep.
And it always has to be like putting a downer on someone else to be like, look what he's doing. And it's like, no, just how about let's like look what he's accomplishing as an NBA player on a whole nother level right now.
I think the one really interesting thing about their lineup is their guards all play bigger than they really are. So, yeah, they play a small group, right?
Good point.
McBride's tough, and, you know, he didn't have a good shooting night, but he's come on lately, played some good defense.
Yeah, they had him on De'Aaron.
Brunson is a dog, right? Josh Hart, this guy is a rebounding machine. He's tough, plays hard. DiVincenzo, tough, plays bigger than he is.
And now shooting even better.
Shooting the ball well. And so they could space you out, and then they make good decisions too. Like when you have a guy like Brunson who is so good with the ball, but then DiVincenzo can shoot it. Josh Hart makes good decisions. I mean, these are all guards. They can all like get decent size, get in the paint. Then you have a big and Hartenstein who could pass like he does. It's tough to defend. And that's why I think like someone like Harrison Barnes is like, this matchup was not good for him. Like these guys are too athletic, too fast. And he was out there. He looked lost. He played 15 minutes tonight and he was not good at all. I would have liked to see them try a little Kessler out there tonight, especially with Keegan in foul trouble. Keegan was in foul trouble all night.
Yeah.
Like, throw Kessler out there. He's long. He's athletic. At least I know he can maybe recover. Maybe he can block a shot or contest a shot. If you're going to throw him in to defend Luka at games, like, this could have been a good opportunity for him to play more.
Yeah, especially if you're going to have guys that you need protecting the basket and or like recovering. Kessler Edwards, his length alone could help in that situation. I'm totally with you on that, especially because Harrison, even when he came in whatever the final minutes, the last 3 minutes or whatever it was like his first possession was a turnover in the corner. Yeah. And it was, yeah. He wasn't matching up with their strength. He wasn't playing strong enough. Yeah. It sucked.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Lyles had a couple of bad turnovers, too. Mm-hmm. We're like, dude, shoot the ball. Shoot it!
And Mike Brown did talk about that, too. He felt like the offense was passing up some open looks, which I know you definitely agreed with that.
In the chat, Matt says Brunson was getting every single foul call. Yeah, and I'm sure this is something that the Kings would point to. The Knicks shot 29 free throws in this game. Sacramento shot 12. Kings shot it well overall, 48% shooting, but they got off to such a nice start. Remember, I said they shot over 66% in the first quarter. They're 18 of 42 from three. Mike Brown said after the game, he thinks they could have 50 threes. They had great looks. From a production standpoint, Fox had 29 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists on that, 11 of 26 shooting, 6 of 13 from downtown. Ellis fouled out of this game, 11 points. Sabonis, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Keegan Murray played 32 minutes. Good to see him be aggressive. I love seeing that. He had 18 points again in this game. 7 of 14 shooting, 4 of 10 from 3. HB was scoreless in 15 minutes of work. Then he had three guys in double figures off the bench. Sasha with 11 in 14 minutes. Lyles with 10 in 29 minutes. And Mitchell had 11. Patrick says, just not a good game plan tonight on defense. I don't think Brunson is enough to beat you alone if you stay home on everyone else. You know, we made that point, and I agree with you, Patrick. Like, I also go, you've seen enough growth, I think, from Fox defensively, what Keon's done, and you know what Davion can do on ball, even though Brunson can score on these guys. I'm comfortable with these guys being on him. Like, give him those different looks. I would even throw Keegan to mix it up, but he was in foul trouble tonight. So, I understand that. But tonight's game plan, defensive game plan, I think is what costs them. They may say it's the offense. Hard disagree. You gave up 120 points, and they had a player in Josh Hart who had 26 points in the paint. Not good enough.
Agreed.
Actually, let's look at it, because we've been giving the Kings love for their points in the paint that they've been giving up lately. They've been really good at that. Final box score. The Knicks were 30 of 45 in the paint.
Jesus.
30 of 45 for 60 points. The Kings were 20 of 30 for 40 points. Kings did have 17 second chance points of the Knicks, 9. The Knicks had 19 fast break points. The Kings had just 9. And I got to be honest, I want to say those probably came, yeah, 6 of those came in the first quarter.
When they were pushing the ball. Yeah. Pushing the pace.
So they had, wow, that's bad. So they had 3 the rest of the game.
Yep. Not good. You started playing into how the Knicks like to play their game and their identity. And that's obviously not push the pace. Slow things down, be in the half court.
We got more of the podcast in just a second. We do want to mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you need windows on your house, you got those old windows that rattle when you open a door, or like you feel the draft coming in. It's like rain. You're like, God, it's cold in my house. You need new windows. It's worth the investment because it's going to make your house look so sexy. Like Deuce Mason sexy, which, I mean, if we're being honest.
Wow, everyone would want to be looking in your windows, huh?
Yeah. Also, it's going to save you money on your energy bill. Go to Northwest Exteriors, Morgan.
Yeah, honestly, just so many great people there you get to work with. And like Deuce was saying, you can save money. You can make your house worth more money. You can save yourself from being freezing cold or super hot in the summer. So make sure to check them out.
I know the Kings lost, but sing it with me, Morgan. They are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Morgan Reagan.
Yep.
Who would be, I hate doing this after losses.
No, you don't. Jalen Brunson, or I'm sorry, Josh Hart, my rock and soul player of the game.
Rock and soul player of the game is?
Josh Hart. 100%.
I agree with you.
Yeah, that's why I cut you off, because I didn't want you to hint anything, and I got it.
Those numbers are disgusting.
No, they are, and I'm not excited that it's Josh Hart. I got it right. Same here. I mean, you think about what he was not doing in Portland because he wasn't given the opportunity to really be, like, in his true form.
Yeah.
And he really is his true self here, just working his ass off. He's our rock and soul diner player of the game.
He was 13 of 18 in the paint in this game. Jeez. 13 of 18 in the paint.
Light work.
Mind you, his field goal shooting tonight was 14 of 19. So he only had one shot outside of the paint, and it was barely outside of the paint.
Yeah.
It was a turnaround jumper he made just outside the paint. He had 31 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, including 26 points in the paint. Our Rock and Soul player of the game.
Make sure to go to Rock and Soul Diner April 12th after the Kings game. There's going to be a big old party. DJ starts at 10 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. There's going to be huge discounts, 50% off your entire bill, and raffle items being auctioned off.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. In the chat, someone's saying, oh yeah, Bag says that my rock and soul player of the game is Deuce's collared shirt.
I know. It's so funny when you come in like that. You just look like
a coach.
Oh.
I kind of look like a coach that's like disheveled after my team lost in New York after we did the same thing over and over again. I'm just sitting here like, yeah, you know, this is.
That's you know? What you look. I was going to say.
I kind of look like a young coach. If you could cast me as a young Will Hardy. You don't think I could play Will Hardy in a movie about the Utah Jazz?
I don't think you can act, like bud. I don't think you can act.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Now he's going to be like, okay, name it. Do it. I'll do a scene.
Give me a scene.
Okay. A scene. Let's see. Titanic. Jack. I'm dying.
Okay. This is so disrespectful.
Yeah, why?
I was so in the mode of being Will Hardy, I thought you were setting up a scene of me as a basketball coach.
You said you're an actor and you could act anything. So, okay. Jack, Titanic, dying, go.
I what's the script? I don't know the line. I don't like you doing Titanic after a Kings loss. It makes me feel like you're relating Titanic to what is the Kings season right now.
Oh, good. Good spin job. There we go.
Also, the other thing I do want to mention is...
What?
Okay. Some of the issues that the Kings had are like the same issues we've been talking about all year. Like, oh man, they don't have enough size on rim protection, on help.
But here's
their defenders.
Here's the thing. They weren't, the game plan tonight did not work into their personnel
yeah.
into the pieces that they do have. Because why have we seen them against other bigger teams be able to see success? Because they're not just blitzing all these guys. You know, their game plan is understanding and working with the pieces that they do have and not trying to be something that they're not.
Jeff Hardy rules in the chat says, hey, what are your thoughts on Sabonis not taking the open right-hand layup drop step that Hartenstein gave him the majority of the night?
Oh.
Hey, well, I specifically remember the one he had that he actually did take, and he just absolutely bricked it. And
oh, yeah.
It was so open. It was insane. And you're right. Like, confidence is an interesting thing, right? Like, Sabonis works on his right. Like, you see him, if you watch him before a game, like, he's doing it. It's the same thing when he's taking threes and not hesitating when you're shooting around. You have to reach a point where you're confident enough to do it. His right's never going to be as strong as that left. He loves going left. That's his thing, right?
Yeah.
And people always, like, I always love that people point that out about left-handed players. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, he loves going left. I'm like, well, yeah, like, a lot right. of players like just going right, too.
Yeah.
The right-handed guys usually like that, too. But, yeah, having the ability to be confident enough that if they're taking that, if they're giving that up to you, you got to go get it, man. Mm-hmm. You got to go get it. You're skilled enough to do it. It's not that he can't. He's not confident enough in that ability.
That's fair. Fair enough.
Sackup says, like, how many times has an opposing player won Rock and Soul? I don't know. Probably as many times as the Kings have lost.
Almost.
But
almost.
Not every time. Sometimes you give it to a Kings player.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, in some of these, like tonight, it is a bad loss. And it's a bad loss because you didn't play up to what the way that we've seen you play against this team and the way that you even played in that first quarter. Like, you came out going like, this is how we can play at Madison Square Garden. Like, I understand the shot making could go down. That's going to happen. It's hard to make shots that efficient all game long, but control what you can control. And they weren't doing that. And I think in that first matchup, they were doing that. They were doing everything they could. Not tonight.
I have a question.
Yes.
And we don't know if these conversations were happening in the game. We're not there. We don't get the huddle, all that. If you're a player in this situation, okay, let's just say De'Aaron Fox or Sabonis, or I guess anybody, wouldn't you at some time go, hey, can we stop blitzing? Let's straight up. Like, a part of me wants De'Aaron to go to a huddle and go, Mike, I want that. I want that matchup with Brunson one-on-one.
That's the approach that it would have to be.
Yeah, like, because give me that shit. That's the type of stuff that sometimes, you know, we would say, it's always, the coaches have to change it. It's like, yeah, the coaches make adjustments too, but the players are the ones on the floor. And it won't be the first time a player's like, hey, we're changing that shit.
Like, I get when you want to fight through and be like, no, we're going to find a way to get this shit down. We got this. There's times where there's a game plan, and it's just, it's not it. It's not the right one.
And in the chats, people were mentioning the turnovers were bad. Acknowledged turnovers were not good. But one thing I do look at, too, is like, all right, you had three more turnovers than the Knicks. The Kings allowed 26 points off those turnovers. Mm. The Kings scored 19 off theirs. Is that the difference in the game? You know, like, that's why I keep going back to the defense.
Yeah. Right?
That's why I keep going back to what went down there. On a night where you shoot 48%, when you knock down 18 threes.
On a night that Jalen Brunson, too, like, in that, again, going back to the first matchup, he could have closed his eyes, threw the ball up backwards, and he was going to make the shot. Where tonight, it felt like, oh, okay, he's a little bit more normal. You know, still very good. But it felt like you could slow him down if you needed to a little bit. You weren't going to stop him, but just slow him down. And, yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. So
the day the Kings upgrade and have an athletic long player who could play the four, when you've got Keegan, Keon, De'Aaron, and Sabonis out there, the Kings go to another level as a team in this league. Until then, this is what's going to happen. Like, they're going to have some really good nights sometimes, but this was not one of them. And so it's disappointing. But guess what? You got a game tomorrow.
Hey.
Before I get there.
Yeah.
Sharif Jewelers moment of the night. I feel like when we go back and look at this game, the first thing that's going to come to our mind is blitz.
Ugh.
Blitz. And if you want to be paused, if you want to know, like, hey, the first quarter was fun because Ellis and Mitchell and De'Aaron were good.
Okay.
But, like, it was so bad the rest of the way, yep. 100-74 that.
Josh Hart and blitzing. That is in like some beautiful passes by Hartenstein.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Petty deuce? Know, not petty deuce is not the right word.
Bitchy deuce?
Grumpy or stupid fan deuce come in the picture for a second.
Okay.
I praise the Knicks a lot tonight. And maybe it's because of where we are in the season, the pressure I'm feeling with like looking at the standings all the time. I was, as a fan, getting so annoyed at the Knicks talking shit. I will also acknowledge if I was a Knicks fan, I'd be like, yeah, I'd be right there with them. But, dude, DiVincenzo, everyone taunting the whole game. Hartenstein, they're jawing at the crowd. I'm just like, I hate all of you.
We were watching the game in Stockton, and Deuce was getting, I'm going to say, you were getting so bitchy with the computer screen. And I'm literally like, Deuce, calm, like, we're in public. Like, calm down, dude. And he was just like, shut up. What are you even saying? What are you even arguing? And we can't even hear the broadcast. And Deuce is just like, God, just play, like, team up. What do we, oh. Okay.
Bears are doing so much talking out there.
You were in
the
mood.
But hey, guess what? They got the dub.
They got the dub.
Before we get to the next game, too, a quick shout out real fast. We are recording this later than normal because we were in Stockton, California tonight. We got there to watch Kings Knicks at 4:30, and then we were there to do play-by-play and Cheetah's color for the Stockton Kings. It was a Western Conference semifinal playoff game between the Stockton Kings and the Santa Cruz Warriors. Stockton making their third ever playoff appearance. Lost last year in heartbreaking fashion. It's win or go home. They were the number one seed in the West, the best record in the G League. Their head coach, Lindsey Harding, who's been on the Kings coaching staff, was named NBA G League Coach of the Year. We talked about that. Sharif Abdul-Rahim, the G League president, former King player, front office assistant coach. He was there to award her the trophy and all that. It was a hell of a game. And Mason Jones, who's on the two-way deal with the Stockton Kings, hit some big shots. They had 15 in the fourth quarter. The Stockton Kings won tonight over Santa Cruz, eliminating them 112-109. They advanced to the Western Conference Finals. That'll be Sunday in Stockton against either OKC or the Sky Force from Sioux Falls. Anyway, we called that game. It was so fun. And on a professional level, we love calling games. Now, that was our final G League game of the season. And it's kind of a bummer because now ESPN takes over the rest of the way. It's like, great, some Joe random
that doesn't even know the league.
That doesn't know. He's not thinking about
it. But he went to Syracuse. That's how they do in the broadcasting world.
Yeah. Here's petty and bitchy Ducimo here. We just want to call games. Anyway. It was such a fun game to call. I love calling the big games. Stanley Johnson, dude. I watched Stanley Johnson the last couple weeks, and I'm like, God, the more I watch him, I'm like, if he could just lock in all the time, he's an NBA player. Like, he's got size. He plays with physicality. He's hitting the three. He was relentless tonight, and
all
it was just fun to
game.
See. And I know there's some people listening to this go, I don't give a shit about the G League. What's the G League? Look. I love basketball and watching these skilled players go at it. It was playoff intensity. It was just fun. And it was a fun game to call. So congrats to Stockton Kings.
And when it's a good game like it was tonight, just again on a professional level, it makes it so much easier for us to call and find our flow as well. Good flow to the game, good flow to our call. And tonight, I just thought we had a really fun good call. And you just as a broadcaster, you just feel good.
Yeah.
After that, your team wins. You feel good. I was telling you just one more thing. I was saying as the players, whenever they walk by the scores table, they get their gum like right in front of us and everything. And I usually don't like just give the fist to everybody. But then as they were going into the second half, everyone, we're just like, pound it, pound it, pound it. And every time they cross me, I'm just like this. Because I just go, what if this little energy that I'm giving as a broadcaster gives them a little bit more empowerment every time they walk by me? I know that's a really dumb thing. I just feel like I'm part of the team at times. I just love it so much.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a fun atmosphere too. There was just a lot of energy in the building. So
fun.
All right, next up for the Sacramento Kings, a quick turnaround. Friday night, just a matchup with the Boston Celtics.
No big.
The Boston Celtics, who obviously have been awesome this year. They are 60-16. They already have 60 wins, and they have won three in a row after dropping back-to-back games against the Hawks. They're coming off wins against New Orleans, Charlotte, and they beat OKC. Mm. Wow. 135-100. Pretty impressive victory in that one. But that was, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, SGA and Jalen Williams did not play in that game. They've been kind of picking spots to rest guys now that they've clinched as the season's winding down. And as it stands right now, Jaylen Brown is questionable with a left hand sprain, and Derek White is questionable with a lower back contusion. Now, with that said, Tatum, Porzingis.
Yeah.
They've, I mean,
still got guys. Stacked.
Drew Holiday.
They're well coached. All the above. Yep. Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. If Derek White and Jaylen Brown aren't playing, that helps. Breaking news, that helps you a little bit. It's going to be a tough one. And my whole goal with this trip was like, can you get two? You got Celtics tomorrow. You got the Nets you have to get.
Yeah.
And then you got the OKC Thunder.
Yep. So, yeah, it's a hard road ahead, and especially when it's the second night of a back-to-back. You're on the East Coast, you know, trying to get used to the time zone. Thank you. I was like, zone. The East Coast, the time zone. All those things play a part. All the teams do it, but you still factor it in when you talk about what's coming up next. And so against the Celtics team, you just know it's going to be tough. We've seen this Kings team respond well at times after losses. What are they going to do against the number one seed in the East?
Sacramento Kings after tonight fall to 44-32. They are now in eighth place. Here's the tough news.
What's the tough news?
I mean, had they won tonight, it would have been really impressive because they'd be in seventh. The Pelicans would have gone sixth. The Suns go to eighth. Well, because none of that happened, the Suns are still in sixth. They're tied with the Pelicans in seventh. The Pelicans have lost three in a row. The Kings are in eighth. Do you want to play a play-in game against the Pelicans?
No.
No. Now, if you stay in the 7-8, the good news would be even if you lost that game, you do get another game, but you'd have to play the winner of the Lakers and Warriors.
This is an effing nightmare. This is like the worst case scenario. Now,
a pause. We have six games to go, right? Uh-huh. So now it's like you can't really afford to lose many more. Otherwise, you're just kind of stuck in playing. I've already adopted the play-in mentality. I've already been there. Fair. It is worth noting the Kings are in eighth, but they are just one game behind the Suns in sixth. They're two games behind Dallas in fifth. It seems like the top four are probably pretty safe at this point. The Clippers beat the Nuggets tonight by 102-100. The top, it's crazy too. We're all talking about the play-in. The number one seed's still up for grabs. The Nuggets are a half game behind Minnesota. OKC is one game behind Minnesota for the number one spot. The Clippers are in the four spot. Dallas is in fifth.
It's a wild, wild west. Drama every single night. Gotta be watching. Gotta be watching.
Well, we appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us. It's a condensed podcast tonight because we're going to have a back-to-back tomorrow, and we'll be live to hang out with you, vent with you, talk with you, have fun, laugh, maybe some games along the way. We appreciate you guys so much for hanging out. Any other final thoughts from you?
No, excited also for tomorrow. Like you said, we got Saturday off, so night chat.
Saturday's not off.
What is it?
WrestleMania night one.
Nachos.
The final boss, baby.
Beer.
The final boss and the tribal chief against Cody and Seth. You Cody crybabies are about to get smacked in Mama Rhodes. Get ready to see your son destroyed Everyone wants his story finished. I can tell you what the story is. It's him losing again and becoming Stardust. Bum.
Stardust. That's so good.
Okay. Love you guys. Three people like that.
Yeah.
We got to go.
See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you